If you will, open your Bibles up to John chapter 10. Yes, Lord. I had a message prepared. I was excited about it. And I got up here under the music and the anointing of God. And I had to throw my notes away. Praise the Lord. You're glad that I threw these notes away. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to step into your word. And Father, we thank you for your word because we live by it. We move and have our being through your word. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for coming and entering into the hearts of men, because once you've resided into our hearts, now we have the anointing that is necessary to hear your voice. We thank you for this, Father. We thank you for this wonderful privilege that any other dispensations didn't have the privilege of, and that is to have the Holy Spirit living within us, especially for eternity. Father, I thank you that you let us know that it's Christ in us that is the hope of glory. We thank you for what you've done in our hearts to give us a new beginning. Hallelujah. And so today, as I preach the word, I pray that your people grab a hold of it and begin to meditate on it and begin to practice listening to your voice. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In John chapter 10, we're going to look at it from the correct interpretation, not through someone's theological doctrine, but we're going to look at it through the meaning that God gives it through the Holy Spirit. And so we'll start with verse 1 of John 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, what is he referring to? Well, Jesus, before he said this, he was talking about the reason and purpose why he came into the world. And he came into the world for the very purpose, Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see. And those who do not see, that they may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees, wouldn't you know, some of the fair you see, were with him, heard these words, and said to him. Isn't that amazing how the religious mind can discern that Jesus is speaking about them? And he says, the religious man, he said to him, are we blind also? Are we blind also? You know what that means? They were admitting that they were not with him. Right. Boy, you know what we know today? If we were all of a sudden transported back in to that very moment, every one of us in the church would know what Jesus is talking about. But that religious man didn't, the Pharisees. And he said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. Yeah. You know something about believers today? You know why a lot of them struggle with sin? Because they don't clearly see something. You know what it is that they don't clearly see? They don't see the darkness that their thinking is in. Did you know in Proverbs chapter 4, it's very interesting, it says that the paths of the righteous grow brighter and brighter. Yeah. You know what that means? It means when I'm going down a path, Wouldn't it be much better if I start down a path that it's not too clear of a path, but the more that I walk down to it, the more light exposes the path? Do you know how much easier it is to walk a path that you can clearly define? But it says the way of the wicked doesn't really understand it, what they stumble, because they're in darkness. You know, this world is in darkness. How many of you know that? And if your light be darkness, how great is that darkness? Because you accept it and there are going to be no change in it. You're going to continue to walk down that dark path. And so there's no hope for one who's allowing themselves to walk in darkness because they don't really understand it, what they stumble over. How many of you know, thank God for grace? Thank God for grace. Thank God light came into the world. Now the world could not comprehend it, but praise God, we accepted it, and now we can comprehend what light is truly all about. But the God of this world blinds or puts natural man's mind into darkness so they don't see the light of the glorious gospel. See, but thank God, I no longer am stumbling. Why? Because God delivered me out of darkness into His marvelous light, and then I'll cease from stumbling. Now, I've told you about my garage. It's not empty. It's got some things in it. And if you're walking around in my garage and the lights go out, you got to watch where you walk, because you'll stumble. You'll grope in the darkness. But get somebody to turn the light on and you have no problem. What could have been a clean walk from where you're at to where the door is until darkness came, that was maybe about a 3-second walk. But when darkness comes into view, there's no telling what you will meet from the point that you're standing to try and get to that door. Now, I'm talking from experience. How many of you ever fallen over something because of darkness? You can't see where you're going. Even when I could see where I was going, and I turned around, I walked right into darkness. A pole or something. How many of you ever done that? You turn right around, smack right into a pole. You didn't see it coming. Thank God he's our rear guard. Thank God where we can't see, He can. Praise God. Praise God. No matter how much darkness you walk in, it don't bother God. He's still your light. That's what He says in Psalms 139. He says, I'm still your light. David said, when I'm in darkness and it encompasses me, it doesn't make no difference to God. He's still light. Couldn't you see God up there trying to guide you, and all of a sudden you enter into darkness and God goes, oh my gosh, I lost him. Where did he go? No, God's got you covered, man. No matter where you go, you're the one that's the culprit. You go walking where you shouldn't be going walking. Most assuredly, verse 1 of 10, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And I'm going to tell you something, what a thief and a robber is. What's the difference between a thief and a robber? Is there a difference? Huh? No, they do the same thing. They take something that's not theirs. But a thief is different from a robber. A thief makes his living by it. A robber will steal things because he has need of something presently. That's why you guys, the police department can tell you that they go and search the background of someone who's caught robbing a home or in the home, to see whether he is a continual thief or he just robbed it one time. So one has a testimony of it being a part of his nature, doing it all the time. Now, what Jesus is referring to here about the sheepfold by the door, do not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And what he's saying is that there are those who think that they're entering in to the kingdom of life, and they're not. And there are some who are convinced that they have the mind of the kingdom, that they will enter in. And if thus they've gone through the sheepfold, through that door, they don't make it. They're trying to come up some other way. And in the latter times, the Bible is very clear that there's going to be seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And that says the latter times. We're living in it right now. We're seeing a seducing spirit working through the church, and we're seeing doctrines of demons and not working through the church, but working through some other doorway for men to enter. Because the doctrine of demons and seducing spirits are not the same thing. A seducing spirit takes the word of God and twists it to mean something else. That is a seducing spirit. It means to seduce you, to lead you astray. Where a doctrine of demons means it doesn't even acknowledge that Jesus is the way. It forms some other form of religion or belief. Muhammad, Buddhism, Hinduism, reincarnation. All these are doctrines of demons. They don't even use the word of God. Are you following me? And so the seducing spirit moves as close as it can to what Jesus is about, but twists the concept of the Lord Jesus Christ and doesn't show you the actual way. Now, that's a dangerous place to be. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, meaning that Jesus, before he came into this world, he did what? He came in through the proper channel into this world. He was birthed into this world by the Holy Spirit, conceived in the seed, in the womb of Mary. And as a result, God gave us a seed, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes on to say, to him the doorkeeper opens, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Then he goes down to verse 4, at the last half of that verse, for they know his voice. Verse 5, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Boy, they got that right. Since I've developed and grown in the Lord, I can listen to a minister, I can listen to a brother or a sister, and I can tell right away what voice they're of, where they're coming from. Now look at this. Then Jesus said to them, verse 7, again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and all whoever came, now they have here, before me, actually, in the Greek, it says, and all who ever came are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. But the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Go down to verse 16. And they will hear my voice. Verse 20. Why do you listen to him? And then let's go down to verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The words The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Glory to God. And they follow me. Now here's what religion has done to cover up the fact that they don't really have to hear His voice. Because once saved, they're always saved. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Now, if you understand that verse without the verses that was said before it, it would kind of indicate, if you didn't read the verses before, it would kind of indicate once you got saved, no one could take you from Him. My Bible doesn't tell me that. You know what I like? I like what Kenneth Copeland once said. Somebody asked him, he says, can I lose my salvation? And Kenneth Copeland looked at him and says, well, I don't really know whether you can or can't because I've never wanted out. Right. But Kenneth Copeland said where this man was coming from is he was flirting around with sin and he wasn't being led of God. And really where he was coming from is how far can I go without losing my salvation? You know, which one of us in this building are wise enough to figure that one out? What age that you have to be before you can lose salvation? Can anyone figure that one out? I can't. Simply because I was sealed by the love of God. And if you're sealed by the love of God, that literally means that God is committed in His love for you in spite of you. There's only one person that can break that seal. That's you. You can walk away from the love of God if you want to. Has anybody done that? Well, Kenneth Hagin said that he's known two people in his life that did that, a woman and a man. But they met the criteria of having come to light and then turned from it. But I don't want to get into that. But I wanted to get this very clear in your thinking, that Jesus said that my people hear my voice. I know them. I know who they are because they listen to me. Now, over in Romans 8:14, it says, they that are led by the Spirit, they are the mature sons of God. It's very interesting how a lot of Christians say, I'm led by the Spirit, and the ones who say that, they have bad fruit in their life. As a matter of fact, the ones who have claimed that they are led by the Spirit of God have not only an independent spirit about them, but them and God are the ones that are tight and they have a right to judge the whole world. Now, who are they being led by? They're being led by their own legend of their own thinking. They're not being led by the Spirit of God. They're not hearing His voice. They think they are. Well, then Pastor Jack, how can I tell? How can I tell what voice so that I can hear it? How many of you would like to hear the voice of God? Well, a few hands went up. That's about right. Max Giugenti and I were talking about the soul and how it functions in the minds and everything, and and he said to me, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. He says, I'm convinced that some believers just don't want to hear the voice of God. Why? Because they love darkness rather than light. When you start hearing the voice of God, you know what's going to happen to you? God's seed that was planted in your spirit will begin to grow. And the more it grows, the more some things begin to happen on the inside of you, such as a war gets going. Did you know before I got saved, I didn't have a war on the inside of me? Did you know that? I meant sin cropped up and said, hey, let's go for a walk. And I said, come on. Let's go anywhere you want to go. This is where I want to go. I agree. Let's get it going. But when I got saved, Sue and I sat down one day and I said, Sue, ever since you and I gave our heart to the Lord, everything is no. Remember that, Sue? And said, I can no longer do that. No, 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 no. The only thing I could look for was food. Seemed like I never heard any sermons on don't get a big belly. I ran into that when I started. That's why I told Sue one day, it's about time we leave the church. And Sue looks at my belly and says, yeah, I understand why. It's funny how we can't judge ourselves. That's why over there in one of the smaller epistles, it says, if the righteous are scarcely saved, when people read that, they think, oh my gosh, the righteous are scarcely saved. What he's referring to is the righteous are scarcely correctable. Because the saving isn't in the way that they think. That's over in Peter. But anyway, he says, no one can snatch me out of his hands because they hear my voice. Now, I often wonder, how can I hear his voice? Well, with that thought in mind, let's go over to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews chapter 3. We'll go there first. Hebrews chapter 3. How many of you are doing okay? In Hebrews chapter 3, it talks about the house of Jesus over the house of Moses. And it comes down to verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice. Today, if you will hear His voice. Look at verse 7 of Hebrews 3. Today, if you will hear His voice. Who said that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice. You know what that tells me? The Holy Spirit, when He's on the inside of you, you have the ability to hear His voice. Now, can you hear His voice through the natural mind? You have to hear His voice through the mind of your spirit. But I've got news for you. If your mind of the senses is your Lord still, it's hard for your spiritual mind to hear that voice. Because humility is the most powerful attribute you can have, meekness, for Him to be able to speak to you. Why? Because you demote your natural thinking. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 it says, the intellectual mind cannot comprehend the knowledge of God. Why? Because intellect cannot hear from God. It wants to hear for itself. But when you have a humility about you, then God can speak to your inner man. And the minute God is able to speak to your inner man, your outer mind automatically hears it. Well, why can't it hear it to begin with? Because first of all, one of the minds has to accept it. Your spirit is willing, but your outer man isn't. You know why a lot, Jesus said, I come to, as a light to the world, because God so loved the world. But many would not receive the light because they love the darkness. There's a lot of believers that love darkness more than light, and they don't hear the voice of God. And when they start hearing the voice of God from their natural mind, this is what they come up with. Why are you judging me? Why are you judging me? That shows you that their natural mind still wants to maintain the love that it has for darkness. Now, after he goes and says about this today, if you'll hear his voice, he comes down to chapter 4 and he talks about a rebellion that they had in exiting out of Egypt to God leading them to the promised land. And God spoke, but they murmured and complained and griped and moaned and groaned. They did everything against the voice of God. And in that chapter, it's said numerous times, today, if you will hear His voice, today, if you will hear His voice, today, if you will hear His voice. Well, they couldn't hear His voice because, first of all, they didn't have the kingdom of God within them. That's why He said over chapter 4 to the Jew that was converted into Christ, don't go back to Judaism, because if you go back to Judaism, you have to abandon the life of the Spirit, because God's voice comes through the life of the Spirit by the Holy Spirit. And thank God He came down and said something that finally told me how I can hear the voice of God. Hebrews 4:12. I want you to get a hold of this. John just about had me go into orbit. He got on the internet. Do you believe everything you read on the internet? Oh. I just thought I'd clarify that. And he got into a section of the study of the mind, and psychologists had determined that the mind has two minds. The soul has two minds. They need to read their Bible. The Bible was ahead of them. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4:12, this is how it's... Now, I'm not going to read it according to how the translators translate it, because they only had one mind when they were translating. They didn't have the mind of Christ when they were translating the Word of God. So I'm going to give you what God said, not what the translators translated it to mean, but what God said that He intended for it to mean. Are you ready? Here goes. For the Word of God is living. Why would he say is living? For the Word of God is living and operative. That is a Greek word, full of energy. And sharper beyond every two-mouthed sword. That means the Word of God has the ability to separate the voices. Two voices. Now, in chapter 4 and chapter 3, we are exhorted today, if you will hear His voice. Do you know what? If you learn to hear His voice, no one can take you out of His hand. I just found out that another minister, Spirit-filled, tongue-talking believer that sat under some good teachers, turned from Jesus to another form of religion. How is that possible? Because he did not have the Holy Spirit active in his life to be able to discern what voice is coming from what place over another place. How many of you have been walking down the street and you hear your name called out and you look towards where you think you heard the voice? How many of you have ever done that? You go, oh, that's... Then you hear another voice, Jan! And you notice it's coming from a different direction. So you turn and you look in the other direction and you hear somebody across the street who recognized you also, and they're both calling out your name. That's where I'm coming from here. That's what this verse is coming from, right there. There are two voices that are calling out for you. Two voices calling out for you. Where are they found? They're found in your soul. Now, most of the teaching on renewing of the mind means that your natural mind is renewed, which is your soul. Listen, people, nothing can be further from the truth. The soul houses both minds.
Right.
That's why the first Adam was made a living soul. He didn't know what it meant to sink from the body of flesh. He only knew how to sink from the mind of the spirit. Until he fell. And when he fell into his flesh. And then his spiritual authority began to diminish over a period of time. And people say that right away Adam and Eve died spiritually. No, they didn't. They died spiritually over a process of time. Because God's voice from their spirit began to get lesser and lesser. And the voice of their flesh began more dominant. And that's why by the time you get to Genesis chapter 6, it says, I can no longer. God went to Adam and said, I can no longer strive with man. Because now he has become one with the voice of his flesh. But God has designed his word in such a way that it has the ability to come down as a two-edged sword and pierce or cut away one voice from the other voice. Isn't that good news? Now our translators didn't translate it that way. Which literally doesn't help the ability for the content of hearing his voice. Jesus said, a stranger, they will not follow. And I'm going to tell you something. I've heard the voice of a lot of ministers and a lot of people, even laity. I hear their voice, but I can tell you what voice they're speaking from. Simply because I've learned how to develop my spiritual mind over my natural mind, and that voice can no longer torment me. Now watch what it says. Any two-mouthed sword and passing through as far as division of soul and spirit. Soul and spirit. He didn't say mind and spirit, soul and spirit. Both. I never caught this before. Because I was looking at it from the translation. Both of joints, plural. Two joints. Watch this. Both of joints and marrows. Marrows, plural. He's saying that the Word of God has the ability to distinguish what voice is coming from what place. Because one joins itself to one place of life, where another one joins itself to another place of life. Which literally means that the life that you and I are to live out of is no longer to live out of the voice of the flesh. We have to live out of the voice of our spirit. Boy, how can I tell which voice it is? I'm glad you asked. Glad you asked that guy. And even if you didn't ask, I'm going to tell you anyway. He said here, with the one... With the two, both of joints and marrow, and is able. We're not finished yet how powerful this verse is. And is able to judge, kritikos, able to judge of the thoughts and the intentions of a heart. In other words, how man thinks and the intentions or the purposes or the reasons of why he's thinking the way he does. Somebody told me, he says, well, you're going to watch out for faith methods. And I says, what made you say that? Well, you know, we've heard of people who have tried faith and it didn't work. And I says, I don't know such animal according to the Word of God. Well, what do you mean? I said, just what came out of your mouth is not found in the Word of God. There is no such thing as trying faith. Faith doesn't speak that way. Matter of fact, faith speaks against natural hope that says no. Or God said you can. It's just knowing what you can and can't do. Are you following me? Well, you just can't order God around and call that faith. I said, I don't order God around calling it faith. God reveals to me what I am to call out for. And so I ask of God what He told me I should call out for, and I get it. Oh, well, I agree with that. Well, where's your thinking? You can't come against the mechanics of faith. Faith is what you have formed in your heart to believe. You don't try that. It's a part of you. Faith is a part of your life. Did you know God? It's up to God for grace. Did you know it was up to God to grace you? It wasn't up to what you could do. It was what God decided that you should have. Grace. But it's up to you to develop your faith. Not God. You have to develop believing Him. But the only way you're going to be able to do that is you've got to be able to hear His voice. And the first thing that you've got to learn about hearing His voice is to hear it through the Word of God. The Word of God, that voice has to come out of the Word. And I had believers tell me things that I don't even find in the Word of God. And you expect me to believe that voice? I got to go right back to the Word of God. And if it's found in the Word of God, then I am going to give attention to it. But if it's not found there, I ain't going to listen to anything that you got to say. Because my faith operates out of my heart. And so I better have the right intentions that is in my heart. And the only way I'm going to be able to do that is to be able to hear His voice. And that's why verse 13, the translators didn't get it. And it's very clear. There isn't nothing that has escaped what God's able to see. Can you imagine that God can't see something? People, if you think that God could miss something, you got a voice problem. And it says, therefore, we're accountable to Him, Jesus. Well, Jesus was the Word made manifest. So the translator put, we're accountable to Jesus. But the Word there in the Greek says, therefore, we're accountable to the Word. That Word is how God speaks to us now. Did you know that God is not speaking to you the same way He spoke to those in the Old Testament? Did you know that? Did you know that God is not going to speak to you the way He's going to speak to those in that last 7-year period of tribulation? Did you know that? God's not going to speak to you that way. You know how He's going to speak to you today? In the Son. He's going to speak to you through His Son. That's why the church age was not known in the Old Testament or made clear. Whew. I can hear His voice so clear. It's getting clearer and clearer. But the more His voice gets clear, I got news for you people, the more darkness leaves. And the more darkness leaves, the less apt I am to be caught up in sin. So what do you do when you sit under a minister that you've been sitting under for years, and all of a sudden he's caught up in an affair? Well, that gives the whole church the opportunity to gossip. No, it doesn't. It gives you the opportunity to get in your prayer closet and pray for him. Because he's got to get back into the realm of the Spirit. He'd been feeding that outward voice. He hadn't been putting his eyes on the right places. David learned that. He was a married guy. And he's tired of this fight, and he goes for a walk in the cool of the night. I'm going to kick back. People, you got to watch how you rest. And so David, supposed to be doing his duty, he's kicking back and walking around, and he looks down and he sees this hubba bubba bubba. And sees this gal naked taking a shower. And he didn't go, forgive me, Lord. No, he went, And he said, I got to hand that. I got to have that. Whoo, look at that. So he invites her up to his place, has a relationship with her. And he didn't stop there. He kills her husband. I'd say that was pretty driven emotions. Wouldn't you say? Because the word emotions means to take action. That would make you act on things. Thank God our spirit isn't emotionally bound. Praise God. But no. No, we have a very strong position in God. We have a position in God. We are able to hear His voice, and we are able to overcome darkness, and we are able to walk into light. And it says the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter, meaning that when I started this ministry, my path was not bright. I had to grow in God with my call. But thank God He graced me. I wasn't ready for the ministry, but He made me ready for the ministry. He knew my heart. He knew I was capable of coming out of darkness into the light. Right. We're living in a gospel today that says, God is good. God is great. God thinks good thoughts towards you. And how many of you know that's good? But we must not forget the other side to the gospel. God also is a God of judgment. And we seem to forget about that. We'll talk about that later. I'm not going to talk about that after hearing the song service we had. And God takes good thoughts towards you and everything, but you're going to go to hell if you keep going where you're going. That don't mix. You got to stay with the spirit of things. Well, did you get something here this morning? Do you love me? Good. I might have the freedom to preach my message I was going to preach today next Sunday. Stand up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that Your Bible clearly says that we can hear His voice. And Father, You have left us a beautiful gift, Your Word. And so, Father, we want to be able to hear Your Word from our inner being. We know we have it in writing. We know we have it in black and white. But Father, when it is spoken to our spirit, it is alive. And that's what we want more than anything else. So this morning, Father, if there be anybody here that has never made You the Lord of their life, and they would like to do that, we want to give them time to make You their Lord. You've already granted them the grace that it needs to grow. But if they've never said the sinner's prayer, never made You the Lord of their life, Father, they can have that opportunity to do that this morning. And Father, this morning, if there be anybody here that has never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we would love to pray for them. And Heavenly Father, if there's anybody here that needs healing, we would love to pray for them. You're the healer, not us. And so with that said, right now, with every head bowed, if you would want to respond to that, salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or physical healing, feel free to step out now and come forward. Is there anybody here that would like that? Anybody? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. He is. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just feel forward. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else? We'll wait for a little bit. Hallelujah. 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 Okay. We're going to go ahead and dismiss the rest of you and let you exit. quietly so we can pray for them. And we thank you for coming. God bless you. And do we have word connections tonight? No. Okay. God bless you all. Thank you. Father, may they all have a safe trip home.